Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist. Please stand and join in singing hymn 397 as found in your bulletin. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be thy kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels. But someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, 'I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Some Pharisees came, and to test him they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. There are two stories at the beginning of Genesis about the creation of the human beings. And because there are two stories, we often misunderstand both stories because we tend to conflate them in our mind. We tend to mush them together. The first story in Genesis is actually the younger story, written down about 500 years before Christ. That story was written by the priests returning from exile and rebuilding the temple and trying to reestablish good Jewish practice in Jerusalem. And so they wrote a creation story that takes 6 days with being crowned by the Sabbath, hence the priests, being crowned by the Sabbath. And the human beings are made after the animals. The story is different from the creation of the human beings story that we heard today. In this story, God makes the earth and the waters and the plants. God sets up the planet as a giant garden. And then God makes the human being and places him in the garden with the command to care for it and till it and keep it. And then immediately after that happens, then God has the realization or says the very first line of the Genesis reading that we heard today, "It is not good for the man to be alone." Now, what you have to do to understand this story is to recognize that the word there is the Adam. Adam is not a name yet. It will be a name later. But right now, Adam is not a name, and it has that article, "the," in front of it. You would think it very funny if you picked up a biblical story and read "the Jane" and "the Martha" and "the Robert," right? That would seem odd. We don't put articles in front of names like that. Well, they don't do that in Hebrew either. So the Adam is something else. And we have to wonder about what the word Adam means and where it comes from. And as near as we can tell, Adam is a breakaway part or another form of the word Adama. Adam with A-H on the end of it. Adama. Adama means ground. Adama means ground. And I would submit to you, and many other scholars would submit to you, that the right way to interpret that sentence is that God decided the groundling needed a helper. It's not good for the groundling to be alone. And indeed, earlier in the text, it says God made Ha-Adam, the Adam, from Adama, the ground. It's a near palindrome, the kind of sound play that Hebrew writers would enjoy. And so God has made this groundling from the ground. Now, this is the second story in the Bible about the creation of human beings, and it's actually the older one. As near as we can tell, this one was probably written down first about 1,000 years before Christ. It's an ancient, ancient story. So we know it was probably written down about 3,000 years ago. Who knows how long it was told in tribes, in the wilderness, around a campfire. Who knows how long this story has been told or how old it really is. But because it's an ancient story from nomadic tribes wandering about and telling stories in the evenings around the campfire, it presents God in that sort of ancient way. So God has made the groundling, put the groundling in the garden to till the ground and care for it, and decides it's not good for the groundling to be alone. So God decides to see about making a companion and helper for the groundling. And so God proceeds to make things out of the ground, the animals. So God makes these animals, and God gives the groundling, though, I don't know what we want to call it, the authority, the right, the ability to name all these animals. Let's call it the spiritual gift of being able to name all of these animals and all of these creatures. So God makes all the creatures of the earth from the ground and presents them to the groundling, who names them, but at the end of it all, not a fit helper among them. So we've got the groundling that God made out of the ground, and so we try to make a helper out of the ground, and that doesn't work. So the next step would be to make a helper from the groundling. So there's a logical progression here. And so the text says that a deep sleep falls upon the groundling. The ancient rabbis say it's the kind of sleep where you don't dream. Very, very deep sleep. And here's a very important thing to recognize. The Hebrew says, God took one from his side. The word rib is not in the text. The word rib is an interpretation that started a long, long time ago because the text was ambiguous. But the phrase is God took one from his side. God took one from his side. God took one from his side. There's no sense of that rib, you know, and all of those ancient sermons about supporting and under the protective arm and all those other things that make the woman subservient to the man. Not there in the Hebrew. The imagery here is more like hermaphroditic imagery. There's this division happening. And so this division happens, And so God takes one from the side of the groundling and presents this one to the groundling. Adam, who's been given the spiritual gift to name things, keeps naming things. Right? He says, God doesn't say this, he says, made for me, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Ish, man. Isha, woman. Adam names himself man and names her woman. Adam does the naming, and he names them in recognition of the connection between the two of them. He names himself Ish, and he names her Isha. And it isn't until Adam says Ish, Isha, that the Hebrew leaves off the "the" in front of Adam, and it becomes a name, and her name becomes Eve. That's when they end up with names. Not until there's two of them. Now, the point of this whole story, I think, goes all the way back to the first sentence we heard this morning in the scripture readings. It is not good for the Adam to be alone. There is something in the way that we are made, says this ancient story, that orients us towards others, that puts us in community and connection and in love with other people. There is something about our nature that requires the presence of the other. And then we see that in what gets said afterwards, right? So Adam says, Ish, Isha. And then a voice comes in. Is it Adam? Is it God? Is it the storyteller? I think it's the storyteller, personally. It's unclear in the Hebrew, that says, therefore, a man shall leave his father's house and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And what's being said there is a way in which, in coming together, the two of them go back to that original state of being together. That together is an Edenic state. Together is a state like unto the Garden of Eden. It's a beautiful text, and it's an important text because it says, even all the way back to our most ancient ancestors, understood God as conceiving of us with others. Understood God as the one who brings together, who gathers together. That wholeness for human beings includes others. And this ancient idea, it shows up again and again and again throughout the biblical text. The creation of God's people, Israel, is a creation of a people. And the people are in tribes, and the tribes are in families, so that there's always a connection point and multiple connection points for everyone in the society. There are always others for them. For them. And it plays itself out again and again and again in Scripture. And it plays itself out most profoundly when God joins our flesh in Jesus. So that we and God become one flesh. This idea goes all the way back into the mists of time and our ancestors telling stories around the campfire and understanding that humans need to belong in order to be. It's a powerful, ancient, ancient teaching. And so when the Pharisees come and they say to Jesus, is it lawful for a man to get divorced? Right there, already, they're starting to do divide instead of bring together. Right? They're trying to trick Jesus so they can divide him out of Israel as a heretic. So already they're working on, they're setting a stage for divisions instead of bringing together. And so they ask, and Jesus says, all right, well, let's go there. What does Moses say? He's looking at his watch. What does Moses say? Come on, come on. And they say, well, Moses says we can write a certificate and divorce, you know, a man can write a certificate and divorce his wife. Jesus says, yeah, that's a really bad idea. Moses did that because you're hard of heart. Because God isn't really interested in dividing up and casting away. God is interested in gathering. And then the disciples don't get it, and they ask Jesus to explain it to them, and he explains it to them. And they still don't get it, which they evidence right away, right? Because then there are moms and kids and all kinds of people around because Jesus is there and they want to hear him. And they start bringing their children for him to bless. And the disciples start speaking sternly to them, telling them to go away, back up, give a little more space. Don't crowd the teacher. Who are you? Why are you here? Divide, 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 divide. And I just wonder why Jesus doesn't more often get reported as slapping his forehead. Because the whole set of lessons from the very first question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? The whole conversation has been about God's preference for bringing folks together because God made human beings to not be alone. And Jesus has been saying this in all of his ministry and all of his preaching and all of his actions. And the question is a trick to divide him out of the community. And it's a question about divisions and about separations and about pullings apart. And Jesus says, God is not about pullings apart. God is about bringing together. Because that's the way you were made. To be together. It's not good for the groundling to be alone. And the Pharisees don't get it, and the disciples don't get it, and then they start separating families and moms and kids and everything else, and Jesus has to yell at them to stop and tries to explain to them that the kingdom of heaven and who God really is and how God has really made us is exactly like the little kid running and grabbing hold of mom and dad's leg. That's the ultimate human image. That goes all the way back to that most ancient story. God is about bringing together. The work of God is bringing together. It is not good for the groundling to be alone. That's the work. Helping others to not be alone. And to find their place in the love of God. It's not good for the groundling to be alone. Stand and proclaim our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. At this time, congregation, please be seated. Baptismal family, come on over. Just be right here, facing them.
Malcolm Hansen Norg. He is being strengthened by God's grace and supported by the example and prayers of St. Luke's Church. We join them in asking that Malcolm be enrolled as a candidate for holy baptism.
Parents, are you regular in attending the worship of God and in receiving instruction? Will you raise Malcolm to love God and neighbor? As God is your witness, congregation, do you approve the enrolling of Malcolm as a candidate for holy baptism?
We do.
In the name of God and with the consent of this congregation, I accept Malcolm as a candidate for holy baptism and direct that his name be written in this book. God grant that it may also be written in the book of life. So put Malcolm's name here and sponsor's sign here. Say his name real loud while you write. Let us pray. God of love and grace, you establish us in Christ and call us to welcome your all-embracing love. Guide Malcolm and his family, strengthen him in his vocation, bind him to the peace of Christ, and seal him with the spirit of your promise. We ask this through Christ our Savior. Amen. Buddy.
Hi.
Malcolm, we anoint you with the oil of salvation in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gracious God, you enrich our lives with an abundance of good things. Our tables overflow with your generosity. Help each of us journey through a life of stewardship, thankful for every meal and blessing.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gracious God, you call us to your table to share the taste of eternal life here and hereafter. We pray for all people of faith, and particularly for Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation. We pray for Malcolm, who is to be baptized on All Saints Sunday.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. As we gather at your table, we anticipate the feast at the fulfillment of time. We give thanks for Nathan, Richard, Anne, Haley, Amy, Anya, Jax, Stephen, Joyce, who are celebrating birthdays, Molly and Rob, Rachel and Brian, Carrie and David, Kara and Aaron, who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, and for Molly, Martha, Jennifer, Michael, who are celebrating baptismal anniversaries.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gracious God, we recognize the abundance of our supermarkets is not shared by many of your children around the world. We pray for all those who are hungry, poor, or in any distress. We also pray for those who seek to help our world and its people. Donald, our president, our legislatures and judges, loaves and fishes, Yana, peacemakers, and for Courtney, James, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, and Stephen, who serve in our armed forces.
May they taste and see that the Lord is good. Gracious God, most experience life as a feast of opportunities. We give you thanks for these many blessings, and we pray for those whose lives are far from the abundance you intend. We pray particularly for all who are sick, all who are addicted, all who are homeless, and we remember especially Mike, Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Hope, Charlotte, Dan, Carolyn, Christine, Caitlin, Helen, Jessica, Rusty, Pete, Sid, Ken, Betsy, Donald, Don, Nancy, Victor, Mary, Jean, Nancy, Marilyn, Nancy, Kate, Carol, John, Ben, Arlene, the people of Indonesia, and all who are affected by natural disasters.
May they taste and see that the Lord is good.
Now gathered at your table, O God, are Sarah, John, Gage, Jeff, and all those who have departed this life.
May they taste and see that the Lord is good.
Almighty God, we thank you for making the earth fruitful so that it might produce what is needed for life. Bless those who work in the fields. Give us seasonable weather and grant that we may all share the fruits of the earth, rejoicing in your goodness through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God our neighbors, and ourselves.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with Mary the God-bearer and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, for as we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Of his 90th birthday, that would be great. So do please be aware of that and mark that on your calendars. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.